Sports USA presents Classic Conversations with Joe Morgan, featuring some of Joe's greatest interviews with entertainment icons, Hall of Famers, and champions. Now, Classic Conversations with Joe Morgan on Sports USA.
Today, my guest is Phil Sims, Super Bowl winning quarterback, great announcer, and all around great guy. Phil, it's a pleasure to have you on the Joe Morgan Show.
Well, Joe, good to talk to you. I know you probably, it always makes me uncomfortable when people do it to me, but you know, I was a huge Cincinnati Reds fan.
Doesn't make me uncomfortable.
My dad loved the team. I grew up in Louisville, so you guys were it. We drove up, watched the games. You know, oh my gosh. So I probably went up to Cincinnati, I'm going to say four times with my father and brothers, because we were, you know, truly, we were a baseball family. That's what we did. My dad was a really good baseball player. There's five boys in my family, and all five of us played baseball. And when we, man, I'm telling you, we loved it. We were all pitchers, all hitters. And, you know, well, I had a lot of games to catch in the backyard growing up.
You know what's funny, Phil, is I've talked to a lot of people on the show. You know, I've talked over the years with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. You know, they all wanted to be baseball players,
They
just outgrew the sport. So it seems that we all love the game.
Yeah, you know, when I grew up, baseball, it was just huge. I'll never forget, I'm in my freshman year, I'm in health class with the football coach. And he says, yeah, kids are changing, da-da-da, this and that. You know, kids just don't get out and play like they should. He goes, heck. He goes, the Simses, they've gotten so desperate to now let the sisters play in their baseball games. Because we played pickup baseball, whatever you sandlot, whatever you want to call it. I can honestly tell you, in the summers, when I was young, I think we played every single day. I mean, it was get 8-10 kids together, whatever, you know, cut off half the field. Man, it was the best. I mean, that's all we did.
And yeah, of course,
you wouldn't see that
too.
Now, Joe. There's nowhere in the United States you could go and see a pickup baseball game. Nowhere.
No, not anymore. I mean,
no,
it's amazing.
Go down, you might go down to a Latin American country and they're doing it.
Right.
But you're not going to see it here, that's for sure. It's kind of a shame because it was truly a great time. And but, hey, everything keeps changing, so you just deal with it.
And you know what? The fact you just said that down in Latin American countries, they play baseball like we used to.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons there are far more Latin American players coming into the big leagues all the time than there are African Americans, especially.
Yeah.
And even, our kids, we just don't play enough anymore.
Well, that's right. And I did always hope to be a professional baseball player. And I played all through high school. And I played football at Morehead State. But when... It's the first day that I got home for the summer. I got my job for the summer, and you know, I got recruited by all the local baseball teams, you know, the big league or the whatever you want to call it, with all the ex-pros and the college players.
Right.
And I go, okay, here's where I'm playing, and, you know, that's it. That's all I thought about. Spring football would be over. I'd go, man, I'm so glad baseball season's coming up. And it was awesome. It's funny, and I know you probably had this discussion with a lot of people about baseball, but it is true when I watched I don't know what it was, maybe it's the Field of Dreams, or it could have been the Natural. He says, when you stick your face in your baseball glove, I mean, that said it all. Smell that leather.
You know what? That's a fabulous thought there, Phil, because I remember the line, but I had forgotten about it. That is saying it all, because didn't we all do that?
Oh, my
We'd
God.
We'd all stick
I'd
our
be
face
on
in there.
Base, I'd put that glove up and smell it and go, man, this is all. Just get down. Please hit the ball to me. Here we go. You know, I mean, it was great. It really was. And I played in all through college. After my freshman, sophomore, and junior years, I played in the summer leagues. And, you know, what was good about that, all the college players, but all the ex-pros that came back in the league, I mean, they were absolutely in love with the game like they were starting it for the first day. So it was a wonderful experience to kind of divvy up the football and baseball thing together as I grew up.
Well, I talked to Oscar Robertson recently, and he basically said the same thing, that, you know, when you grew up, you played all the sports. You know, now kids have to specialize. You know, if you're a football player, they make you play football year-round. If you're baseball, you play baseball. I think they're missing something there because some of the skills kind of, you know, cross over to the other sports.
Well, you know they do. There's just there is a tremendous crossover. I did not get to play basketball growing up because I came from a very large family, and my father said, boy, pick two. And you get to pick two, and when you're not, you better be working. Okay, got it. You better
That's
be
pretty good.
If you want clothes, you're going to buy them. And you want lunch money, you better earn it. Okay, got it, Dad. I think the instructions were simple and well understood. So, but you know, you're right. I'll never forget this, too. I can't remember the name of the junior college. I was in Arizona 1 year. We played the Cardinals. We stayed out there and practiced because then from there we went to play the Los Angeles Rams. And we practiced at this junior college facility. They had a great baseball program. The coach came over, watched this practice. We were talking. And I, of course, went right up to him and asked him 1,000 questions. And he says, yeah, everybody that plays here is a Division I baseball player. They will leave here and go to some big college. I said, no kidding. He goes, yeah, boom, boom, boom. And I said, well, you know, I said something to, are these guys, do they play, you know, all sports growing up? And he goes, it's funny you ask that. The first day they come on the field for our first practice every fall, he goes, I can pick out the 8 or 10 that played football, baseball, basketball right away over the all the time, around the clock, all year long, baseball players. And I said, really? He goes, yes, there's something inherent. Just they're different. They're a little tougher. And it shows in the way they play the game. I went, wow, that is, I'm never going to forget that.
And then I'm not going to forget it now because that's very interesting.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, when I grew up, you know, I'm not going to kid you. And I don't like talking about my kids, but when my kids were growing up, they loved baseball. Of course, I kind of, I liked it too. Let's go throw some pitches in the driveway. I pitched batting practice until my arm would fall off. I loved it, you know, see if you could hit my knuckleball or whatever. But, you know, so I wanted them to get the experience of playing all sports and choose from there which one they loved.
I got to go back. You mentioned that powerhouse football college you went to, Morehead State.
Yeah. It was awesome.
And then you were drafted number 7 in the 7th round by the New York Giants.
No, it was actually the first round, the 7th pick of the draft.
That's the seventh pick.
I mean, how about that? Morehead State.
Yeah.
You think some people didn't – if that happened right now in today's world – there would literally be people would get fired if they made a decision like that. They would. You know they would, Joe. It could never.
Right.
Here's what they would do. They'd go, okay, he's a first-round talent, but he played there against that competition.
Exactly.
So we're going to – that makes him a fourth-round pick now. And then, of course, they'd say something else. He goes, now he's a sixth-round pick. And the whole NFL is like it's like a pact. They agree, yeah, we're going to mark him down because he played here. And, oh, he didn't win every game he played, so he must not be a winner. So we mark him down. And, oh, he doesn't have the intangibles because they didn't win enough. Mark, you know, so, you know, there's a little sarcasm and all that.
No, but that's right.
Those are the facts.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, the one, and I have to say this, you know, I'm a big football fan, and I watch every Sunday, and I watch you. And that's the one thing I have to say. I really enjoy listening to you as being a former sportscaster, that you're for real. I mean, you tell it like you see it, and you talk about, you know, you're not caught up with, well, they say this guy's rating is this and this guy's that. You know, you just say, this is what I see. And that's the way I've always felt. This is what I see. I don't care if he's hitting 330. This is what I see right now.
You know, I think it's a great point. Bill Walsh, I read his book. I'll never forget, you know, I can't remember the name of the chapter or whatever. Trust what your eyes tell you.
Right.
You know, I've been a sports fan and a sports person from the first thought of my life. I loved it. You know, I followed everything. I looked at every box score every day. Joe, I looked at that Reds box score every day. Who got the hit? Oh, he went 2 for 3. That's awesome, you know. Hell, I mean, I loved all you guys. Tony, Perez, Dave, Bobby Tolan. Hell, I was destroyed when he blew out his Achilles. Like, oh, my God, the Reds, what are they going to do? It was Bobby Tolan, right?
Yeah, it was Bobby T.
Yeah, it was Bobby Tolan. Yeah, I wanted to make sure. The years are passing by here now.
Yeah.
So, you know, even in baseball, Tony La Russa said something maybe this year. I was reading about in the World Series. he goes, basically, I think it had something to do with Moneyball and whatever. He just goes,
yeah.
You know, you can't always go by the numbers. You have to go by, there's something more to it than the numbers. And baseball, more than any sport, oh, my gosh, I can't even listen because the numbers.
Numbers.
Can't we just go by the feel and what, like you just said, what your eye. He might be a 330 hitter. Yeah, I know, but you just said it. There's more to it than just, oh, he had 330.
As you said, Bill Walsh says, trust what your eyes can see. I have a saying, we say the eye test. Does he pass the eye test?
No question.
Yeah, you can look at all these numbers, and the numbers tell you this or that, but does he pass the eye test? We know, I've known, and I'm sure it's the same way in football. And remember, I'm a huge football fan.
I know you are.
I learned my football from Al Davis the way, but Al used to come over. I'd go over, have lunch with him. He'd take me through, film with him and watching games, and he'd tell me this and that and the other. And one of these days, I'll have to tell you some of the conversations we had up in the suite.
I know we all had some of those conversations.
Exactly. But not fit for our radio show right now, but they're a great conversation. I wanted to ask you about Super Bowl.
But, and I get in arguments, Joe,
yeah.
with people. Not arguments, but, writers and people that call me about a game coming up, and I'll say something. I go, they're only scoring 32% of the time in the red zone for touchdowns. I go, I said, I didn't even know that. He goes, you didn't know that? And I go, no, because I don't pore over the numbers.
Right.
Football absolutely is not determined by the numbers. You've got to read between them for sure.
Yes.
And I said, look, I watch all the – I said, are you taking into account that the last three times last week that he drove into the red zone or whatever you want to call it and – all they needed to do was to kick the field goal and to be careful. Did you put that in your calculation? What did that number tell you then?
Right.
Well, yeah, I know, but, and I can honestly tell you, when I go do games, like I'm doing the Jets and the Bills this weekend,
right?
I couldn't even tell you, I could guess, but the quarterback ratings, their completion percentage and all that, because I'm telling you right now, Joe, I don't care.
Right.
Because I've watched every Bills game and every Jets game, and I'm going to talk about what I have seen and what I know. So the numbers, don't put them up there. I'm not going to go, oh, wait, I was wrong. He really is a great quarterback. Look, he's completing 67%. He must be the greatest accurate thrower, and which we know is not true.
And what really you're saying, though, Phil, to me is the way I kind of broadcast games. You know what's going on out there. See, you can see that. You can feel the game. You can feel what's happening, and you understand. A lot of guys have to rely on the stats because they don't quite understand exactly what's going on, at certain times.
Yeah, remember the game. It's a great thing. We did a game. Oh, my gosh. Jim Nance and I did a game last year. It's terrible because some of the games are melted into the other one.
Hey,
yeah.
I know.
The quarterback was having an awesome day, and as the game and as I called it and I saw it, and then they put up his numbers and I went, wow, look at those numbers, they're awful.
Right.
and I go, well, and then I look at Jim, I go, that shows you numbers can't tell the story in football. And Jim Nance immediately goes, you're right, because I think he's played great. I said, no, there's no thinking, Jim. He has really played well. So those numbers don't mean nothing to me. And, and I got to tell you, too, I always get backlash a little bit from those kind of things.
I do, too.
And I just, because I just tell them, then don't be calling me because you're not going to convince me. We're going to have a little argument, and I'll keep, so whatever.
You know what you're doing more than they do.
Well, I'm not saying that.
I am.
I hear you. But, I said to somebody this morning, I said, look, I change my opinion all the time. I'm not afraid to. It's
good
like
point.
Anything. The more facts I gather, the more I see whatever, of course I'm going to change because the information is more abundant, and it could change what I think and do. But I'll wait till I get them. I can only go as Bill Parcells used to say, hey, Sims, I can only go by what I see. Okay, gotcha. And that's what you got to do. You can only go by what we see.
Speaking of
that's what's fun about the job. You know it.
Right.
I know it. And baseball, especially football, because football is nothing but a big gray area. And you got to make sure, to me, that's what my job is, to interpret that gray area for everybody.
And you, and obviously, and I'm not just saying this because, as you know, you, but you do a great job, and I really enjoy listening to you. Let's go back. You brought up Bill Parcells, but let's go back to Super Bowl 21. You know, for everyone who may have forgotten, you had the highest completion record in the history of the Super Bowl. You had 20. You completed 22 of 25 passes, and a couple of them might even been dropped. But before that game, you know, there has to be pressure, as everybody knows.
Right.
But did you have any feeling, you know, during warm-up that you were going to have that kind of game?
Well, I think I had those feelings, Joe, weeks and weeks before leading up to the game. And we were a hot team. We'd had some big passing days back in an era where, you know, now they'd be considered, well, I don't know if they're throwing for enough yards what they're doing there, you know, because it's a different era now. It's just changed. But I thought we would play well. I thought we would win. Did I think I would have the day I did? Of course not. You know, when I was practicing leading up to the Super Bowl for 2 weeks, Joe, whatever you want, the biorhythms, they were high. I was, you know, as I tell them, I was stroking it, man. I mean, every day at practice. And I remember the Friday before the Super Bowl, we're having our final run through, and I'm throwing these passes, and Parcells goes, he's standing behind me going, Sims, man, you're hot. And then he got nervous. Then he got really nervous. He goes, no, you know, don't leave it here. Don't leave it. Oh, yeah, okay, Bill. Hell, I don't know. I'm just practicing, big guy. I don't know what to tell you. And, you know, my feelings leading up to the game, you know, the reality is if we lose, no matter what I do, I am going to get crucified.
Right.
And I know it. And I always tell quarterbacks and athletes some of these kind of stories. I go, what made me probably and helped me so much, I didn't care. I was willing to go down in flames, and I was going to let it go. And I think as an athlete, when you protect or don't let it go, then there's no chance of great success. And I look, you know, people go all these things, money. Yeah, I'm jealous of the offenses. They get to run now and all that. But I only regret one thing as an athlete. That I didn't walk on the field every Sunday or every sporting event and go, I am the baddest dude in the world, and here it comes. You know, because those days, Joe, I was a tremendous player. But when my mind had doubts and I went into the game, oh, I've got to be careful today, and I can't throw an interception, and you just, it's unbelievable. You know, I look back all those days, I was just another guy. I was an average guy. So I let my mind defeat me a hell of a lot more than I should have in my career.
Well, you know what, Phil? That's, you're not the only one. I say this to a lot of people. Mike Schmidt, who played with me and Pete in Philadelphia.
Sure.
Mike was kind of like, if he got off to a bad start that day, he'd have a bad day.
Wow.
You know, that kind of thing. His he couldn't say walk on the field, and he was the baddest dude. You know what I mean?
He
couldn't walk on the field and say, I'm the baddest dude that day, because Mike could do everything. Ability-wise, he was unbelievable, but he did not walk on the field just what you're, like you're saying. I'm speaking with Phil Sims, a great quarterback and great sports announcer. Listening to you, I heard Joe Namath say this long, long time ago. He said, I don't know what's in everybody else's head. I don't know about the running and all that. He said, but when it comes to throwing the football, I think I can match up with anyone.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, exactly.
He was, you know, most people don't even realize. I even told my youngest son once, I said, you know, when Joe Namath was young, he could really run.
Right.
And he could jump like you can't believe. And my son goes, really? I go, yeah. You know, it just, injuries took that away from him.
Yeah, it took it away.
But, yeah, he had a great right arm, and he could throw it. God put him on earth to throw it, Joe.
Well, that's what he's saying. And that's what I'm getting from your conversation. The one thing I've learned, you know, listening to you and some of the other people, because I'm just a big fan, you know, these intricate things about the game that really mean something. Like you said, quarterback, if he can't throw it, all those other things, all the intangibles they're talking about or whatever, down the road it will catch up with him. That's what I'm getting from you.
Well, let me just say it this way, Joe. I'm going to get in a race, the 100 meters in the Olympics. I'm the smartest guy there. I worked harder than everybody. I had the best coaches. I have all the things. I've studied it my whole life. I have a great feel for this. When that gun goes off, I'm still coming in last. Okay?
Well, no,
so
that's...
don't give me about all these factors. You still need physical redeeming qualities that are going to make you great.
You know what, Phil? We're going to have this conversation again because I'm learning so much, but it's great. And I appreciate you taking the time today because I know everybody's calling you and wanting to talk to you about
it's okay.
Everything.
No, I'd love to talk to you. You know, I want to think of you and everything. And, you know, and I'm not lying. You know, I can go down the lineup with you with the Reds and everything. And, you know, shoot, I can still see you twitching at home plate and wearing that damn glove that was the smallest glove in the history of baseball.
I'm not going to lie to you, Phil. Brandon Phillips asked me to bring my glove in one day. I took it in, and I put it on as I was taking it, and I'm saying to myself, I played with this. I'm being honest with you. It surprised me at how small that glove really was because I've gotten away from it. You know, it was just a natural part of my hand for all those years, and I hadn't put it on in so long, and then I realized, man, this was pretty small.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. When I was growing, I probably finally, you know, I was an infielder. A third baseman, shortstop, and all that stuff, and pitcher. And I went to a small glove my senior year in high school, and I was playing shortstop. And it was truly unbelievable how much better I got.
Exactly. That's why I used it.
Gosh. And
it makes you do things fundamentally correct.
Yeah, that's right. It's like somebody say, go down there and catch that ball like you have bare hands. And it's and I said to my head coach, who was a great baseball guy, Coach, why didn't you tell me this when I was a freshman?
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to Classic Conversations with Joe Morgan, featuring some of Joe's greatest interviews of all time. Get them all anytime at sportsusamedia.com, iTunes, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, iHeartRadio.com, and the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone. There, you can also check out some of SportsUSA's other great podcasts, like Snake Steaks with Jake Plummer, The Rich Report with Tom and Sam Rich, Ted Sobel's Excellent Sports Adventure, and the Fred Dreyer Show. This is Sports USA.